Okay, so in the bottom of Ayin Beis, Amud Beis, we got the four lines from the bottom. At the end of the line, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Be'ilu Nishalim, the Burim Ratumim. The Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah. The Mishnah all the way back in Ayin Aleph and Beis, two daf away. And the Mishnah told us that the Kohen Gadol had to wear all eight begadim when he would ask a question from the Urim Ratumim. And the Mishnah went on to say, in other requirements to ask from the Urim Ratumim, you need to have, you only ask for a Melech, or for an Av Beis Din, or somebody who the Tzibur really needs. So on this, the Gemara comments as follows. We're now three lines from the bottom. Ki Yasa Rav Dimi Amar, Begadim Shekoin Gadol Mishamish Behen, the Begadim that the Kohen Gadol would wear, in other words, the eight Begadim, Behen Meshuach Mechama Mishamish Behen. With those very same eight Begadim, the Meshuach Mechama, who's Meshuach Mechama? Meshuach Mechama is the Kohen, another Kohen, a different Kohen Gadol. He's a Kohen who's Meshuach Mechama, who gets anointed and appointed to be the head of the war. And he would go out to the end of, I think, Parshas Shoftim it is, or only just started, around the bottom. He would go out before the wars and make these announcements and say those who are scared and, you know, someone who didn't build their house and somebody who didn't finish their field and someone who just got married, all these different things, he would announce, and those people would run back home and be exempt from their duties at war, and other people have to stay. So this Meshuach Mechama, he would wear the very same eight begadim as the Kohen Gadol would wear. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, Uvigde Kodesh Asher L'Aron, the Bigde Kodesh that were for Aaron, Yehu Levanov, Achrav, L'Mishaba Begdola Achrav. So this Pasuk is a little strange what's going on here. The how is this a raya, how is the proof that the Meshuach Mechama would also wear these begadim? So you're saying that word Achrav is extra here?
Yes. I didn't say anything. The book said.
Okay, I see. So the word Achrav is extra. I guess that's part of the long Rashi in the bottom left. The Rashi earlier says the word Achrav is extra. Comes to teach me that there's another type of Kohen who were to wear these begadim, namely the Meshuach Mechama is also considered a gedulei. It's something of greatness. So he would also wear these begadim. So the Gemara now asks the following question. If it's really true that the Meshuach Mechama wears the eight begadim, like the Kohen Gadol wears these eight begadim, Masiv, Rav Ad, the Barava, he asks the following question. V'amri le'kedai, could others say there was a name of a different Chacham whose name was Kedai, how exactly to pronounce it, I'm not sure. Yachol, so what's the question? He quotes from the following Brisa. Yachol yehe b'no shem Meshuach Mechama mishamish tachtav, k'derech shem b'no shem Kohen Gadol mishamish tachtav. One might think that just like the Kohen Gadol, after he dies or becomes apostle, his son, if he's fit, is the one to take over the Kohen Gadol next, only if he's fit. So you might think also that Meshuach Mechama's son would also take over this position. It would be Yerusha. So they should work the same way. Tamu Lomar, Pasuk says no. Shivas Yomim Yil B'Shem HaKohen Tachtav Mibanav Asheyavo El Omoid. The 7 days, the new Kohen is going to wear the 7 days of clothing in order to part of the initiation process. And he was going to follow his father, who entered the Olam Moed. So the Gemara makes the following drasha. Mi sheroi levo el Olam Moed, the one who's fit to enter the Olam Moed, such a person like the Kohen Gadol, his son will follow him. But the Gemara asks, v'im isa michse chaze. So what's the question here?
And again, they speak only about Kohen that goes to a war. Right?
If he's wearing all eight begadim, then he's also fit to go into the Olam Moed.
He's also fit. I see. Okay, so the Gemara asks, so how does the Gemara say, so what's the criteria to enter into the Olam Moed? Well, you need eight begadim to do the avoda of the Kohen Gadol. So if this Meshuach Mechama, in fact, is wearing eight begadim, like we just said from the previous brisa, so he's also in theory, he doesn't, but in theory, he's able to enter into the Olam Moed also wearing his eight begadim. So he is Roy now that he wears eight begadim. Because he has the eight begadim, that makes you Roy. You need those eight begadim. So once he's Roy to enter into the Olam Moed, so his children should also be able to follow suit, should be Yoresh, his his position, why then does a braisa exclude him from this position? That's the question. So Gemara answers as follows. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Hachi Kamar. This is what the braisa means to say. Kol she'ikar mishichaso le'ol moed yatzeh she'ikar mishichaso le'milchama. No. You don't view it as to who's roi, who's theoretically fit. Rather, you go, whose ikar purpose, whose primary purpose is to enter the Olmoid. So it's the Kohen Gadol whose primary purpose is to enter the Olmoid. So it's him whose son is going to follow, is going to be Yorish, inherit his position. As opposed to the Meshuach Muhammad, whose ikar purpose is not to enter the Olmoid. He might be allowed to, but his ikar, his primary purpose is to go out to war, lead them in war, and make the necessary announcements that he's supposed to say. So the Gemara asks further, we just said before at the beginning of this, the daf, we said that the Meshuach Muhammad wears the eight begadim just like the Kohen Gadol wears the begadim. Yet this price says Meshuach Muhammad doesn't wear the four like a regular coin, but he doesn't wear the eight like a Kohen Gadol either. So he doesn't wear eight begadim like the Kohen Gadol. Enters the Gemara, Amar Le Abaye, Ella Mishum Zar Mashizle. So what, he's a Zar? If he's not a Kohen Gadol, he's not a Kohen Gadol, that leaves him as a Zar. He's a non-Kohen. A Zar means a non-Kohen. We're going to say the Meshuach Muhammad, whose prerequisite to become a Meshuach Muhammad has to be a Kohen. So if he can't wear any of the begadim, not the four, not the eight, that means he's a Zar. That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Ela Kohen Gadol, he's really like a Kohen Gadol. And he really should fundamentally wear the eight begadim, like the Braisa told us in the beginning. So why does a Braisa here say he doesn't wear? Mishim Eva, simply because of Eva, because it's going to create animosity, it's going to create competition between him and the real Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol's like, I'm the one, I'm the special one here, I'm supposed to be wearing eight begadim. I have another guy, the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad, who also wears eight begadim. It's going to create this competition, and we don't want that. So it's for these technical reasons we say, don't wear the eight begadim. But fundamentally, he should and is able to, like the previous Braisa. Okay, so now that we establish he can't wear eight begadim, well, maybe he should wear four begadim. And like at least be a Kohen Hedder, at least let him go into the Kodesh, into the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara says, no, we can't make him a Kohen Hedder either. Kohen Hedder, Mishum Malin B'Kodesh V'lo Maridim. Once you go up in a certain level, we don't go backwards. So once this Meshuach Muhammad has been upgraded, he's been promoted from a regular Kohen Hedder, we appointed him to, listen, you, Reuben, come over here. You're going to be the new Meshuach Muhammad. We're going to appoint you as the head of the war. He can no longer go back to becoming a Kohen Hedder. He's kind of stuck in between and nothing to do. But again, fundamentally, he is really like the Kohen Gadol. He should wear a begadim.
So the Maskana according to this is that he should be wearing a begadim.
He should be, but he doesn't for technical reasons.
So what does he wear?
I guess I didn't look into him. I guess he just can't do any of the avodah. Maybe.
He's not Meshuach Muhammad.
He is Meshuach Muhammad. Kohen Meshuach means Meshuach Muhammad, but because of that. These technical reasons, in the end, it seems like he can't do any avodah in the base of Mikdash because he can't wear four for this reason and can't wear eight for that reason, so he's kind of stuck.
It's ironic because the reason why he doesn't wear four is we don't want to be moried him, but he's moried anyway because he can't do any of the avodah.
Right, it's true. But I guess you could say as follows. Let's say someone is the head of company. He's the CEO of a company, and they want to, I'm trying to think of a good example, but sometimes it's better for him to not to be around the business at all than to be demoted to a regular employee.
Like the corporate offices?
Right.
Okay.
So better not to be seen at all than to be viewed as a regular associate in the firm. So maybe that's the idea.
See how Yitzchak points out that if the Kohen Gadol died, then they hadn't appointed a replacement yet.
Right.
So then there's no jealousy issue, so then he can wear all eight.
Uh-huh, okay. Makes sense.
Right.
Very good. Okay, so then the Gemara continues and says, "Amalei Rav Ada Bar Abba LeRava, V'Hai Tana DeLeslei Eva V'Lokum Shamish." I'm going to bring you the following brisa, that this brisa is not concerned with any Eva, no animosity, no competition. Yet the brisa still says that the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad doesn't wear Epigadim. But why? If there's no animosity, so Mimela, like the case where the Kohen Gadol dies, and then the interim picking a new one, there's no animosity, he's allowed to. Why the following Bryce, which we're about to see, says he still doesn't wear the eight begadim? Zitanya, the Bryce.
But
yeah.
He should be wearing when he goes to Midchama, or when would he be wearing those begadim?
When he serves at the Avoda, I would believe. When he does the Avoda.
Which Avoda?
if he were to do any avod in the Beis HaMikdash, like the Kohen Gadol, when he's in the Beis HaMikdash, he wears eight begadim all the time.
So any avod that he would do, he would be wearing eight begadim.
Exactly. Right. So the Gemara says the following brisa, to show that even when there's not Eva, the Kohen Mishuach Muhammad still does not wear the eight begadim. So where do we see this? The Tanya. Dvarim Shembein Kohen Gadol the Kohen Hedyot. The following are a list of differences between a regular Kohen and the Kohen Gadol. One is Par Kohen Mashiach V'Par Haba'a Kol HaMitzvos. This first line, by the way, there's a Gersa in Rashi. I assume the Aleph there takes you, the Gruff fixes it. There's really one of the same thing. One of the same thing is Kohen Mashiach of Par, it's called Par Kol HaMitzvos. Par Kol HaMitzvos means a regular Yachid who violates an Aveira that, if done B'mezid, is Chayv Karis. When you do it b'shogeg, so you have to bring a karban chatas. So Yachid has the option of bringing a seer or a kizba, a female sheep or a female goat. The Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Mashuach, is known as, not Mashuach Muhammad in this case, but the Kohen Gadol, he has to bring a par. He has no options, he must bring a cow for when he does a chatas. That's one difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot. Another difference is par Yom HaKippur, the Kohen Gadol brings a special par in Yom Kippur. V'asir se'efa. Every single day, the Kohen Gadol would bring asir se'efa, split half in the morning, half in the evening. Lope, let his hair grow long, that's Puria. He cannot wear Purim, he cannot rip his clothing. There's actually an interesting machlokas, Rambam, the nature of the Isser Purim, of ripping your clothing. The Ramban writes the Isser is to actually tear the clothing. The Rambam, the Isser is to wear torn clothing. So the Ramban says, in theory, if you wear clothing that is torn, you don't violate the Avera. But the Rambam says you do violate the Avera for wearing torn clothing. So that's an interesting point on the side. About Purim hu milamata, but he's allowed to Purim, he can have it torn on the bottom of the clothing. He's torn can be allowed on the bottom, but he can't have it torn on top or somewhere in the middle. So that's another difference. But the hedyot milamala, but the hedyot is allowed to have it even torn from the top, it seems. Another difference is Ve'ein Matami Lekrovav. The Kohen Hedyo, the Parsha Emor tells us that a Kohen is allowed to be Matame if one of his seven closest relatives, one of his parents, his brother, sister, his children, or his wife, and those seven, he's allowed to become Matame and go to the Kfur. In fact, there's a mitzvah requirement for him to go to. But a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go to become Tame to any of these relatives. Further, Mitzuvah al Basula. A Kohen Gadol has to marry a Basula. You cannot marry an almana.
It's the opposite. Yeah. That's Kohen Gadol. Ain Kohen Gadol mitame likruvav.
Right, that's, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said the opposite. Right. Hedyot is...
Okay. Hedyot only is allowed to for the seven closest, and the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be mitame for anybody, even for the seven closest.
No, it doesn't. No. So that's one thing. Ve'en Kohen Gadol mitame likruvav. Einon nitma betumat met likruvav shemetu.
Right.
Ve'ilu Kohen Hedyot nitma
l'shivat
hakruvim.
That's what I said.
The Kohen Gadol...
Cannot...
Oh, for anybody.
You're both saying the same.
Yeah.
You agree to agree.
Thank you for translating that into Hebrew.
I'm slowly
speaking. Another difference is the Mitzvah al Basula again. The Kohen Gadol has to marry Basula. He cannot marry a woman who's been previously married, even if she's a widow. He's not allowed to marry her. But a Kohen Hedyot can marry an Amana, but cannot marry a Grusha. The same thing, just one's a lab, one's an assay, that a Kohen Gadol has to marry an Abzula and may not marry an Amana. Further, Machzias HaRotzeach, what's Machzias HaRotzeach? So those of you remember from the Pesukim and Maseches Makos, that when a someone kills a Horeg Rotzeach B'Shogeg, a murderer, accidentally kills someone, he has to run to one of the Ari Miklat. There are 48 different cities, there's 42 and 6 differences between them, totaling 48 safe havens. The Rotzeach goes there. At the death of the Kohen Gadol, the Rotzeach B'Shogeg is allowed to go back to his city. That's only when the Kohen Gadol dies, but a regular Kohen Hedyot dies, that has no effect on this person who ran away. Further, Makriv Onin is that the Kohen Gadol, when he's in the state of Aninus, where he has a relative who died but the burial has not yet happened, he's called an Onin. A Kohen Gadol is allowed to be Makriv, but a Kohen Hedyot may not. Further, Ve'eno Ochel, that although he can be Makriv, the Kohen Gadol cannot eat. He cannot eat the carbon that he brings when he's an Onin. And further, Ve'eno Cholik, he cannot divide up the food of the Aninus. V'notel chelik barosh. So the Kohen Gadol is able to take first. He could come in today and say, listen, you know what? I actually want to do this today. And there's no gora that goes on. We saw in the beginning of Maseches Yuma, they had all these different hagralos for the payasos, the different lots for the different various avodos. The Kohen Gadol could come in and say, no, today I'm doing this avoda. And no one can say anything to him. That's what it means, v'nota chelek barosh, nota chelek barosh means he could take first. Umakriv chelek barosh means he's able to be makriv whatever he wants first. He has first dibs.
Well, just v'no chelek, it means even after, he cannot take food even to it after he's an inos.
Even after Zaninus. Einocha means he can't eat while he's in the Zaninus.
Einocholek means even if he has in mind to eat after he's in, which he will be allowed to eat after uh-huh. Zaninus, he's not allowed while he's on, and he's not even allowed to take any
take
part
it
of
to it. Save it. Again.
Right.
Okay. Umeshamish Mishmona Kalim. One of the differences also, the Kohen Gadol wears the eight begadim, as we know. Upatra Tumas Mikdash Bekadashav. If he enters into the Kosh Kadashim, normally there's an Issa Deraisa, you get a Chi of Kares. For somebody who's Tamei, who enters into Beis Mikdash, or somebody who's Tamei, who eats Kachim. So the Kohen Gadol is actually exempt al tumas mikdash b'kadashav. If he's tamei while entering the base of mikdash, he's exempt. So too, if he's tamei while eating the kachim, he's also exempt. The chol avodas yom kippurim eino ksheres elabo. We saw that a few times already quoted. All the avodas of yom kippurim can only be done through the Kohen Gadol. The chol anagos b'meruba begadim. And the same thing holds that we've been talking about up until now was the Kohen Gadol. The two types of Kohen Gadols. One can be a Kohen Gadol. We saw this all the way at the end of the first parak. The Kohen Gadol become a Kohen Gadol through Meshicha of Shemen, placing oil on his forehead, that makes him the Kohen Gadol. After the Shemen HaMishcha had been hidden, they weren't able to use that anymore, so they had to use Meruba Begadim. By him wearing the eight clothing, that made him a Kohen Gadol as well. So the Gemara points out now, what's the difference? Chula Nogos Meruba Begadim. Up until now, we've been talking about someone who's been Nimshach with oil. But so do all these halachas apply to even a Kohen Gadol who wore the eight begadim, the meruba begadim, that is what made him into Kohen Gadol. All the above apply, except chutz, mipar haba akol mitzos. Except for the par that if a Kohen Gadol, meruba begadim, were to violate an veira and has to bring a chatas, he doesn't bring a par, rather brings a seira or a kisba, a goat or a sheep, like any other member of Klal Yisrael. And then the Brayse says, v'chulon, nohagos b'mishuach, Shavar. All of them apply to a Meshuach, a Kohen Gadol, who had already, he's no longer in his position anymore. I think it's either became Pasul or too old. Right, Rashi's a Psul happened to him. So he no longer serves as the Kohen Gadol. All of the above apply to him also, Chutz Mipar Yom HaKippurim, except he doesn't bring a special par for himself. The active Kohen Gadol brings the par. V'asir se'efa, also every single day, only the real Kohen Gadol brings the asir se'efa, not this once was Kohen Gadol. V'chulon, now, the reason why I brought this brisa was, ein nohagos b'mishuach mochama. All the above do not apply to the mishuach mochama Kohen. Chutz, except for a few that do apply. Mechamisha dvarim, there are just five things that do apply. Hamur m'parsha, that are mentioned in Parsha's Emor. Lo Porea, he can't grow his hair long. Lo Porim, he can't tear his clothing. Lo Metame Lekroav, he can't be Metame to his relatives. Umetzuva al Basula, Umuzra al Ha'amana. And he's required to marry a Basula, and he's not allowed to marry an Amana. Umach Zeser Ritzeach, Kedivre Rebbe Yehuda. And if he also dies, the Ritzeach B'Shogeg, who fled to one of the Ari Miklat, he also can come back home. That's all according to Rebbe Yehuda. The Chacham Omrim ain't a machzer. He argues in the last point, no, if a Kohen Mashiach Muhammad dies, the Rotzeach Peshogeg cannot return. Okay, that's a very long-winded brisa. In the end of the day, after all the dust is settled, what do we see from here, though? Ki les le'eva b'tikavasa, I'm sorry, ki les le'eva, so what's the question? The question is that there should be no Eva, yet he doesn't wear the eight begadim. So why is there no Eva here? Because the very fact that we say there are a few mitzvahs that Mashiach Muhammad can keep, that he doesn't lo parea and lo parim, he has to marry Basula, can't marry Amana, the fact that certain mitzvahs do apply, sounds like there's no competition here. We do allow them to be somewhere on the same level. So we do allow them to be somewhere on the same level, so we're obviously not concerned of Eva. If we're not concerned with Eva, mimele we should allow them to wear the same begadim. They should be able to wear eight begadim. So answers the Gemara. We're with me on that question. So the Gemara answers as follows: Ki les le'eva b'tikavasa b'dezuter minei islay.
Misha katan mimenu. Meaning, if he didn't reach to that level of Kohen Gadol, then you should choshesh from Eva.
So let's have the question. I misrepresented the question. The question is not on the Mashiach Muhammad, it's on the Mashiach Sha'avar, the Kohen Gadol who once was, who no longer is serving anymore. So that Kohen Gadol who's no longer serving, so there should be some Eva between the Mashiach Sha'avar and the active, the current Kohen Gadol. So if there's some Eva, why then do we allow this Kohen Mashiach, the Kohen Sha'avar, why is he allowed to wear the Epigadim?
Why Kohen Sha'avar?
The Kohen, the rice in the middle said, the Kohen Sha'avar, the Kohen Gadol of the Sha'avar, who used to be, but he got a Psul.
He's a Psul, okay.
But he's allowed to wear Epigadim. But why? Shouldn't there be some type of Eva between the both Kohen Gadolim now? So we see there's no Eva. We're not concerned with Eva. So if there's no concern of Eva, so the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad should also be wearing the Epigadim, just like the Kohen Gadol Sha'avar wore the Epigadim.
So the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad is a Kohen that's a Psul.
No, he's not Psul. There's a Kohen Gadol who works in the Avoda, Beis HaMikdash. She wears Epigadim.
Yes.
Now there's a Kohen Gadol Sha'avar, who used to be, but now he's Pasul.
So why are we dealing with him?
Why
are we dealing with him?
It happens.
Comparing him to the
Kohen Gadol. We're talking about different types of...
He's not allowed to work in the Avoda.
He's not allowed to, right. So, but he's still allowed to wear the Epigadim. You're saying when's he going to work for what?
I don't think that's what it's talking about.
No, it is talking about that. The question is for why would he wear the Epigadim?
No, let's say he does have an Avoda.
But if he's Pasul...
He's not doing Avoda.
He's not Pasul, he's a past. He's not, what says he's Pasul?
The Rashi says, Sh'ir Psul. That's what Rashi adds. And later on, he goes back, he loses the Psul and becomes Kasher again. Ah, okay, that's the point. And now the active one is now, he gets pushed back to the Avar. That makes sense. So now everybody is able to do Avoda.
Right.
So again, the original guy was Pasul. They appointed Kohen Gadol 2.
One.
Gets Kasher again, he goes back. Kohen Gadol 2 becomes now an Avar. He's a backup. So they both wear the Epigadim. Why? Because they both wear Epigadim. Shouldn't there be this Eva? We're not concerned with Eva. Well, if we're not concerned with Eva, so the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad should also be wearing Epigadim. Because we said the Brisa all the way in the beginning of the Brisa, and the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad really should wear Epigadim. And the only reason why he doesn't wear Epigadim is because of Eva. But this Brisa clearly is not concerned with Eva. The very fact that the Kohen Gadol Sha'avar wears the Epigadim.
Right, here is it. Basically the answer is that if he sees another Kohen who was Kohen Gadol, there is no Eva because he already was Kohen. He is Kohen Gadol, is what he's going to be.
He's always been.
But the other one, he's scared he might become somebody important. Uh-huh. Not yet.
Uh-huh. So when they're the same level, there's not so much they acknowledge each other.
And it's a fact already. This person already is Kohen Gadol. What is he going to be scared of becoming? He is.
Uh-huh.
On the other one, he's scared that he might become.
He's creeping up on him.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's the answer. What it means, let's read that inside the Gemara now that we understand it. Ki lesh le Eva, when is there no Eva, there's no animosity, there's no competition, that is bitikavase, when they're equal. I know, listen, I'm the head, you're the head, we're both on the same level here. Okay, no competition. Bidizutumine, a guy who's less than him, Issa, that's when there's competition. He's scared that the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad is building up. He wants to take over the position as the real Kohen Gadol. That's where there's this competition. We say, no, I understand. Mashiach Muhammad, Mikadin, you can wear the Epigadim, but because of Eva, we're not going to let you. Okay, Gemara continues now and says, Yosef Rebbe Abohu v'kamer la l'shmaisa. Rebbe Abohu said this whole sugya over Mishmei Rebbe Yochanan, the name of Rebbe Yochanan. Ahadruni Rebbe Ami, Rabbi Asi Lapayu, and Rabbi Asi turned their faces towards them. And what was the significance of that?
So he said, Rabbi Abahu.
They're turning the faces. They turned away. Was there to indicate that as a sign that it wasn't said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? It wasn't true. They turned away. I don't agree with what you're saying. So it's so interesting. They're so careful. Every single detail of the way the same halacha was said over. The fact that he quoted Rabbi Yochanan and it wasn't really Rabbi Yochanan was such a big deal. Yeah, it was such a big deal. I was actually telling someone, I won't mention who. Someone told me a ma'isa of a certain gadol. I wanted to just confirm the facts, so I asked someone else I knew this gadol directly. So he said, I want to hear how you heard the story first. So I said the story over how I heard it. He got so upset, not at me, but at the way it was changed, and he said the way it happened was as follows. If I told you both stories, you'd say the same exact stories. There are slight differences. No nafkamina how it was said over. Same exact point, same exact idea. So, you know, some, you know, the Gemara itself is very particular how exactly it was said over, in the name of whom, what details. So
we just learned a few daf ago that there was a Rav who wouldn't say any halacha unless it was from his rabbi.
Yeah,
so that makes a big difference, because if you follow only one rabbi and that's your halacha, then if they mention somebody else, then it's a whole different story.
Right.
He answered them with the questions.
Right.
Right. He's just trying to avoid the questions. That's Rabbi Eliezer, I think, right?
I think so, yes.
So the Gemara says now, Ikadami, there's another version of how the story went, that Rabbi Chi Bar Abba Amra, he said it, Vahajinu Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi Lafayu, and they also turned around.
Actually, he wasn't here.
I was not here, yeah, no. Correct.
I wasn't here either.
Yeah.
So I remember I learned it.
So this version of what happens, he did not say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and still Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi turned away. No, I guess you're saying he said in the... Okay, the Gemara here is missing a few words here, but this is another version of it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Chiya was the one who said it, and not Rabbi Abohu, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi turned away because, in fact, why are you quoting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan never really said this statement. Okay, the Gemara now asks, Maskev la Rav Papa. Rav Papa asks the following question. Bishma Rabbi Abohu Mishum Yikara Debe Kesar. We understand the first version of this story of Rabbi Abohu, why Rabbi Abohu did not, why Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, why they did not directly reject the statement of Rabbi Abohu. Rabbi Abohu again said this halacha was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and it really wasn't. So why didn't Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi outwardly say you guys are wrong? Rabbi Yochanan never said that; they just turned away. Because the covenant of the Beis HaKesar, Rabbi Abohu, was apparently a relative of the government, the king. El Rabbi Chi Bar Abba, according to the second version, who he had no shaykhus to the government, he had no covenant he deserved. Neymar Le Meymar, Lo Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't they explicitly say to them, listen, Rabbi Yochanan never said this? So Kiasa Rabin, so that's it, I guess?
Therefore, the second version was not
true. Must be Rabbi Abohu was the right story, not Rabbi
Bechir.
Okay. So, Kiyasa Rabin, when Rabin came, Amar Nishal Itmar. Going back to another, the original statement, the whole discussion about the Big Day Kuna of the Meshurach Mechama, so Rabin said that this was talking about Nishal Itmar. When the Meshurach Mechama were to ask questions to the Urim V'Tumim, So he would be wearing these eight begadim. Not when he was doing the avoda, but when he was doing the when he was asking from the Urim V'Tumim. The Gemara says, "Tani nami hachi." The Brisa says the same thing. Begadim shekoyin gadol mishamish behen mishuach b'chama nishal behen. So, same thing before, but slightly different. That these eight begadim that the kohen gadol would wear when he performed the avoda, these were the very same eight begadim that the Meshurach Mechama would wear when he asks shailas from the Urim V'Tumim, as you know, regards to going out to war. Are we going to win? Should we do this? Should we do that? That's what the Brisa is meant to say. So Tanur Bun, the Gemara brings a Brisa now, how the whole Urim V'Tumim exactly worked. Ketad Shalin, how exactly do you ask questions from the Urim V'Tumim? So the Gemara says, Hashoa Panav Klape Nishal. The one asking the question has to directly face the one who's being asked, namely the Kohen Gadol who wears it. So the one asking, let's say the king is asking the Kohen Gadol, the king has to face the Kohen Gadol. V'nishal panav klape shechina, and the face of the nishal, namely the Kohen, has to face the shechina. How does that work?
He has to look to the
He has to look downward, I guess.
Yeah, like
so the Kohen Melech looks forward, Kohen Gadol looks down at the Urim V'Tumim.
Right.
Okay.
His chest.
Yep. And then Hashoel Omer, the asker, asks, Erdof Acharai HaGedud Hazeh.
Should I chase after this?
This enemy, okay.
Yeah.
V'nishal panav kabeshchina. Sorry, v'nishal omer. The nishal says, "Komar Hashem olav hatzleach." Yes, you're going to be. You're going to go up and be successful. This is where with David Melech.
Shishal David Melech.
Right. Okay.
No, ela umitshuvat Michael ben Yimla leachav. It's not what they said for David Melech. Ella, b'tshuvat Michiu ben Yamle le'achav. It's the Yimlud ben Michiu ben Yimla said to Achav.
Okay.
B'tosefet amilim koamar Hashem. Alev atzlach.
Okay.
Go for it.
Go for it. You'll be successful. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein tzarech lomar koamar Hashem. Ella alav atzlach. You don't have to say koamar Hashem. Just it's known Hashem says it. Just say the you're going to go up and be successful. Ein shalom b'kol. You don't ask in a loud voice, I guess. Shenemar. Right, you do it quietly.
Other people shouldn't hear.
Okay, so ein shalom b'kol. Shenemar v'shalo.
Was the Kohen Gadol a Navi?
No.
No.
What?
Not necessarily.
Kohen Gadol was what?
Navi. Doesn't say
anything. Like Aaron was a Kohen Gadol and a Navi, but it's not a criteria. It's not a requirement by any means. Right, so Rashi says, "What shalom?" I mean, shalom, mashra lo levada. You ask it privately to yourself. Shein shomer elohu. Only he hears.
So how does he get the answer again?
The letters light.
Yeah, light up exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. That he has to have nevuah, some nevuah, because he has to understand. Let's say in the case of Shimshon's mother. That Eli thought that she was Hannah. So Hannah, how did Eli think that she was drunk? Because it says Shikora and Bemet she was.
That's what we're learning to Belachash.
Right, but it really wasn't Shikora. It was Kesheira. So the same letter is lit, but he didn't understand the order. So instead of Kesheira, he understood Shikora.
And if the battery is out,
then you recharge it. Is it an iPad or?
Then the Gemara continues and says, again, Shalom, you ask privately. V'lo mahara b'libo.
It does. Like, does it say that the light?
Yeah.
What does it say?
Does it say here? We'll see. If it says here, I don't know. We'll find out. If not here, the Rambam probably talks about it. So then the Gemara says again, v'lo mahara b'libo, and you don't think about it, you have to actually articulate, you have to say the words, you just don't say it out loud. Shenemar v'shalo, l'fnei Hashem, you're supposed to ask the questions, ela kederach shamar chana b'tfilasa, the way Chana did, she said it quietly. Shenemar v'chana hi midaberes al liba, she spoke to her heart, but she said the words, but not out loud. So rather, you have to articulate them, but not loud enough for it to be heard. So there's actually an interesting shaila about the use from the sugi here as follows. When it comes to davening, we're running out of time actually. I forget that, Charlotte. We don't have time. Okay, we have time. I'll come back to it.
Whoa.
Okay.
So,
right. Gemara says, where are we? Ein shal en shnei dvarim ke'echa. You can't ask two things at once. You have to ask independently. Vim shal ein machshin el echad. If you decide to ask two questions at one time, you only responded once, one of the questions, not both questions. And you only get answered one, the first one, not the second one. Shenemar hayiskiruni bale kila biado hayered shal v'gomer. So
what happened here is that he asked the Kohen two questions together.
Okay.
And Hashem answered him only the first one, and then when he heard that the first answer, David goes ahead and asks again the same question, the second question again, and then Hashem answers him.
Uh-huh.
So from there we learn that. That he only answers one thing at a time.
Okay.
During
the tumen. Do we know what the two questions are?
One is because he was running away from, I don't know who. So the first question is, are they going to catch him? And then if they're going to catch him, should he leave the city?
Would they give me away the keila,
the
hand of Shaul?
Right.
And then he asks, Hayred Shaul, is Shaul who come down to keila? Hashem Yared.
Okay.
So David was Kohen Gadol?
No, David was running away. But David, what happened?
Like
what
happened?
No, because what happened is Shaul HaMelech killed all Nevi'ei Nov, and there was only one survivor who he didn't kill. So he became he was a Kohen Gadol, and he used to stay with David HaMelech. He ran away with Urim Bitumim. He ran away.
What Shmuel?
But Shmuel wasn't a Kohen. Shmuel was a Navi.
Was a Navi.
Okay, but let's just try to finish. At least right. I'm in Beis, I guess.
Sorry.
No, I'm happy for the background. I know the background. So the Gemara says, "Vayomer Hashem, Yerei, go down." The Ha'amris Ein Machzirin Al Rishon. How did the pasuk answer the? How did Urim Tumim answer the second question? It only answers the first of two questions. So David Shaul Shalok Seder. He didn't ask in the right order. V'achzir Lo Kaseder. He asked the second question. First, the first question,
right.
Second.
Right.
To respond to the second question, even though the second question is really supposed to be the first question. That's what it was.
Right. And what happened was, is Shaul HaMelech was coming with the army and some people, so he wanted to know, is Shaul HaMelech going to come? And if he comes, are they going to, his people are going to hand him over to Shaul or not, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So first answer, Hashem answers in the correct order, but he asked in the wrong order.
Hashem, yes, Giru. They will give you away.
Right.
Don't go.
So then the Gemara says, "Achaven shiyal the shashal shalok kaseid." The one he asked out of order, "Chazav shalok kaseid." Then he asked again in the proper order. Shenemar hayiskiru ba'le kila osiv es anshe biyad shal vayomar Hashem yiskiru v'mhutzach adavar l'shnas. So fine. That's so he ends up answering, asking the question again, like Ricky said, and that's the whole ma'isa. So then the Gemara says, "V'mhutzach adavar l'shnayim." If you really need two things, then machshin lo shan. Then there's certain instances where you will be responded both questions at once. Shenemar vayishal David b'Hashem lemor hardof achrei hagdud hazeh hasigenu vayomer lo radof ki hasig tasig. Run away because they're going to catch you. V'tzil tatzil, you'll be saved. Vafa pish gzeres navi chazeres gzeres umetum eni chazeres. Even though gzeres the navi can be undone, when the umetum says something, it cannot be undone. Shenemar b'mishpat haurim. Urim shemeirin es divrehem, that it lights up the letters, the words. Utumim shemashlimim es divrehem tumim, it's complete, it's final, there's no going back. Vim tomer begivas binyamim pinei ma lo hishlimu. How what about the givas binyamim, the whole ice of givas binyamim? What's that about?
Wasn't it Pilgash Giva?
Was that what it's talking about?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Pilgash Giva.
Okay.
That they, you know, it was in the Pinchas time, and they asked if they should go to fight, and the Rebbe Tumim said yes. They went up and they got destroyed, and then twice again, it happened twice. And
right.
The
third time, right?
They were matzliach, but
right.
It was really.
So how come there? So they were asked and they were told to go, and they actually the Rebbe Tumim was not correct. They never asked if we should win or we're going to lose or we're going to be defeated. They never asked that question. They just said, should we go, I guess.
Very literal.
Right? Yeah, you have to be careful.
They said, which of us should go first?
Ela alu bilvad. Ulachona shibichanu. Eskimu shenemar. Ufilchaz ben elazar ben aron velefanav. Aosifot latzilim echaim ben emilim echim echdan. Alu kimachar etnilu viyadecha.
Right. The last one, Shebichnu Hiskimu, Shenemar Pinchas Ben Elazar Ben Aaron Omei Lefnei Biyam Haheim Lemor Hausif O Letzeis LaMechama Im Bnei Binyamin Achi Im Ad Echtal Veyomar Hashem Alu Kimachar Nenu Biyodecha. So finally, they asked the question in the proper way, I guess, and they were given the answer that yes, you will win, you will defeat them. So they went up and defeated them. Okay, Keita Nasas. How was it done? How is what the Umetumim?
Shubat Haurim Betumim.
So,
okay. How does
how's it work exactly? How's the batteries and stuff?
It's in the Choshen, the Urim and Tumim.
The Choshen was here, the breastplate, we said, and the Urim and Tumim was stuck inside. Shem Hashem was inside.
Yeah.
And on the breastplate, you had stones and the names of the Shvatim and other things also. It would light up the letters. So, if we're going to tell us what happens here. Ketz and Nasus. Rabbi Yuchokonam and Boltas, it would actually stick out. Not light up, but stick out. It would, like, yeah. Rabbi Veshakashamar Mitztarfos. They would combine with each other.
They
move around and turn into a word.
Form words.
Form words, yeah. How does that work? Let's say you need something with a tzadi. The tzadi is not in it. Reuven and Shimon go through the shratim. There's no tzadi in any of the shratim. Amar of Shmuel, Bar Yitzchak, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Kasus, Shamosa. The three avos were written there. So the Yitzchak has a tzadi. V'halok siv tes. Bar Yaakov Shifte Yeshurin Ksiv Sham Shifte. The test from there was also written on the breastplate. So Gemara says, so we have all the letters now. Meisive Kol Kohen Sheino Medabe Beruach Hakodesh Vishchina Shorlov Ein Shalom Bo. So one of the criteria is not to be a navi. You have to have Ruach Hakodesh. Ruach Hakodesh isn't quite navi. Right
here adds.
Right, I'm saying any Kohen Gadol who does not speak Ruach Hakodesh and does not have the Shechina Shorah on him will not work.
Right.
Sharei, Shal Yitzadok Valsalo, Tzadok, who had the Shechina and had Ruach HaKodesh, asked, and he was answered. Ev Yasar, apparently, who did not have any of these, lo also lo, he was not responded to. Shinemar Vayal Ev Yasar Atom Koham. So has that proof for us? What the pasuk tells
us?
So they say Vayal means Halu. They removed him from his post as Kohen Gadol. He was taken away. So what's the? So how's this a question though?
It was not a question. Just say it.
It's a fact, right?
No, there's meant to be a question here, though. I have.
No, mate, yeah. Yeah.
You have a question mark?
Attacks like Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish Mibraita. That's from both of them.
So, how's the question to Reish Lakish? This apparently implies that the Osios weren't Boltos and weren't Mitzarfos.
Lama Nitzrach Shetehia Kohen Agadol Hashur Ruach HaKroid. Right, if they came out, why did they call it Ruach HaKroid?
You and I could have read.
Ah, I see, okay. Right. So the Gemara says, maybe what you were saying before, you still need Ruach HaKodesh to interpret it. So you have a Messiah Bahadayu. You have to be able to properly interpret what was being lit up, what was being stuck out. Oh, Gemara rather says, no, it won't work. If you look at Rashi. Rashi says, see you have a Messiah. Kohen Bahadei Ur Metumi. You need both of them to work together. Hilkachim Kohen Kasha Harya Roy Lishos Shechina Lov Halutzias Boltos O Mitzarfos Ayidei Kishin Shalom Bo. If it's a Kohen Gadol who's Roy, so then the letters will form words, or the letters will, the Boltos will stick out. But if he's not Roy, Im Lav Lo Boltos Lo Nid Mitzarfos. So only the person who is Zoche, who is Roy, what did this thing happen to them. Let's finish the parak at least. What time do we have? Ooh, okay, we got a few minutes. Vein Shalin Ela El Melch. You only ask to a king. Minohani Mili, how do we know only king and is allowed to be asked? Amar Rabbi Abba, Utamar Kra, V'lifnei Elazar HaKohen Yamod V'shalo B'mishpat Urim. So this is referring to what?
Yeshua.
Okay, so Yeshua asked, Hu ze melech v'chol b'nei Yisrael ito ze mishrach mechama v'chol eida zu Sanhedrin. So Rabbi Rashi tells us we're talking about Yeshua here. So when the pasuk says v'chol bnei Yisrael, that refers to Mishrach Mechama, who represents all of bnei Yisrael. And again, this is the continuation of the pasuk. The entire pasuk says as follows: pasuk in Bamidbar, at the end of Bamidbar. Lifnei Elazar Kohen Yamod v'shal lo b'mishpat ha'urim lifnei Hashem al piv yatu al piv yavo. Who the Melech Yeshua Mechol Bnei Yisrael Ito, that refers to Mishrach Mechama, and Mechol Aida, that refers to Sanhedrin. So those individuals or those entities were allowed to ask from Rav Tumim Hadron Lach Bala Kohen Gadol. Now we're about to begin the final parak of Yom Kippur, the home stretch of Yuma. We have 14 days left to Mimisayim it. Should we start the Mishnah?
I'm doing
Siyum in
Prime
Grill.
Oh, everybody. No, that's what you said last time.
When is it?
Oh, you hinted to somebody.
Adam Oaken said he wanted to do it next time.
Okay, we'll give him this.
So should we... let's start the mission at least.
No, stop right here. The tomorrow daf is okay, it's not so long. It's short.
Okay,
let's start,
we'll wait for Dave.
Okay, that's not so bad. Okay.
No. Quite a...